Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here this evening, that you are here in this place, not just residing in our hearts, but you are here in manifestation, that you are here in power in the name of the Lord Jesus to meet every need. We thank you that you are here willing to do those things that are necessary for every person, the answers that people need, the power that people need, the strength that people need, the victory that people need, everything that people need in this place and those that are watching online. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you minister to these people even as only you can. We trust you. We look to you. We thank you that you are the one that is able to do what no man can do. We thank you for that now. We bless you and thank you for that. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of God tonight. Wonderful, wonderful music, song there that just kind of really gets us sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? And we just need to be more conscious of him, because he can do what no man can do. He can do for you in almost an instant what you might not be able to do in a lifetime. Isn't that right? And he knows solutions that man hadn't even begun to dream of. And so it's just wonderful to have and to know that the Holy Spirit is here in our midst today, tonight, in the name of Jesus. We thank God for that. Well, it is Thanksgiving weekend, and you know, if you're like me, you got full of turkey and food and all kinds of things, and it was you know, it was just overflowing almost with good things. And I know that it was interesting. I saw it on Facebook where somebody said it's amazing that the people that were so thankful for what they had fought so hard the next day for the things they didn't have at the stores. And so that's interesting. And but you know, there's a lot of people focused on what they don't have. And you know, so I just want to share a word with you tonight. If you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 14, and we'll begin with verse 10. If you listen good, maybe I'll speak fast and maybe we can get out early. Notice I didn't really promise a thing there, did I? But it did sound good, didn't it? All right. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10, we find a people that were in a dire situation. It says, "When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And then Moses, in verse 13, said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." And then in verse 14, I want to focus on this verse right here. It says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." I want to quit right there. I know we could read down through verse 16, but you know the story here. The setting is the Israelites are at the Red Sea in front of them. The Pharaoh's army is drawing near behind them, got mountains on either side, and they're in a desperate situation. Looks like no way out. And Moses said to the people, He said, the Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. So tonight I want to simply speak on this particular note just for a moment, just for a few minutes. You shall hold your peace. You shall hold your peace. Notice that the Israelites, in the middle of this dire situation, began to give voice to their fears. They began to fuss and fret and carry on and began to say things that, looking back later, after they had crossed the Red Sea, they were, I'm sure, quite ashamed, or rather regretted, that they lost control of themselves, of the words that they spoke. And these words that they spoke did not reflect anything about what God could do. They did not reflect anything of the power of God. It only reflected what they could see. And today you find lots of people that look at things only in the way that they could see it, not necessarily the way that God looks at it, or the way God, or in the light of what God could do. And so you see that these people needed to be told something, because you see, if they kept on saying what they said, they're going to get what they don't want. And sometimes we got to stop saying what we're saying and just decide we're going to hold our peace, because we certainly don't want what we've been saying. And so there is this challenge here. Moses told them, in the middle of their fussing and fighting and fretting, you shall hold your peace. Now in Kansas, where I grew up at, we probably would say it like this: just shut up. We're kind of to the point people, you know, kind of like that. No beating around the bush or anything like that. But I'm sure, see, Moses probably knew better how to get a hold of these people. He said, you shall hold your peace. That sounds much more spiritual than shut up, doesn't it? I mean, it's just that you shall hold your peace. All right. And so why did Moses tell them, you shall hold your peace? Well, it's simply this. The truth of the matter is that outside the peace of God, you're really not going to receive much from God. In other words, when you're dwelling in peace, you're in a position to receive from God. And I just have to tell you, in the middle of a lack of peace in this world, where there's rioting and there's fighting and unrest and violence and wars, people are anxious and afraid and concerned and worried and fearful. But you know, in the middle of all of that, let me just tell you this. You have to decide to hold on to your peace. Not going to let any of that steal your peace. Look at your neighbor and say, let's talking about you. I think he's talking about you. I think he's talking about you. And so, see, you have to, let's say this together. Let's decide to hold on to our peace. And let's serve the notice to the devil. Let's just say this: devil, you're not going to steal my peace. I hold on to my peace. And so I want you to realize then, there is great power that can be obtained as we dwell in peace, as we hold on to our peace. I want to give you three things real quickly tonight that will help you in this time, in this season, and perhaps in this Christmas season. Perhaps there are some of you that are concerned about this Christmas season. Perhaps you are looking at things you can't have. You're realizing you're going through a period of time where you might not be able to do what you really like to do, or have what you really like to have. But I want to tell you tonight, let me give you a powerful truth, that if you'll learn to hold on to your peace, you can have great happiness and joy in the middle of wherever you're at. Amen. And so the first truth that I want to give to you is this, because this is a powerful truth if you get a hold of it. Peace is an indicator that your faith is working. Peace is an indicator that your faith is working. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says this, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Notice what he will do, but you got to do the believing. Joy and peace comes in believing. When you're really walking in by faith, when you're standing in faith, there's a joy and there's a peace that comes, that dwells inside of you, rises up and overwhelms or overtakes your thoughts. I may be looking at some really bad stuff on the outside, but the peace of God is guarding my mind. The peace of God is solid in my spirit. And I know it looks bad, but I know that my faith is working because there's a peace on the inside. My God is working for me. And I know that he will change whatever I'm looking at. He will change whatever I'm going through. He'll bring me out on the other side. He'll get me through in good shape. He's not going to drag me through the mud and then come out on the other side with a torn shirt, you know, and got, you know, looks like you've been walking through the fire and you got one shoe on and one shoe off, you know, and you come staggering along. And no, he's going to bring you through. Tell your neighbor, he's going to bring you through. So peace is an indicator that your faith is working. Faith without peace is, when you have faith without peace, it's not working as it should. Peace will accompany faith. When you know that you know that you know, how many of you know what I'm talking about right there? Ever get a latch a hold of something and you know that you know that you know, there's a great peace that comes on the inside when you have that. And so it is when your faith is working, when peace is on the inside. Jesus said to the woman with the issue of blood, he said this, he said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. In other words, your faith is working. You can be at peace. Isn't that something? I don't know about you, but if you can get a hold of this, you can hold your peace. You can let them fuss and fight all they want to. You can let them shout. You can let them disagree with you. You can just hold your peace and say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know a greater truth than what you're presenting to me, and that is that my God is working for me. He's working for me. He's working for me. You see, having peace stabilizes your faith. Having peace stabilizes your faith because you know that God is working mightily for you. Isn't that right? And so, number one, peace is an indicator that your faith is working. Say it with me. Peace is an indicator that your faith is working. Let's go to the next. The number two, peace is an indicator of being in the will of God. Peace is an indicator of being in the will of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." What does it mean by that? He says here to let the peace of God rule in your heart. One translation says this, said, "Let the peace of God be the umpire of your heart." And if you're familiar with baseball, and, you know, it's football season now, so there's a referee. But in baseball, you have an umpire, and he calls it the way it's going to be. He tells you whether it's going to be, you're going to be safe or out, whether it's a ball or a strike, whether it's a fair ball or a foul ball. The way he calls it is the way it's, is the right way. And so, here's the same thing. The peace of God is your umpire. It indicates whether you're in the will of God or not. You're either in foul territory or fair. You're either safe or out. You understand? So you have to realize that. Now, as a former pitcher, I was a left-handed pitcher. And I want to tell you, umpires could be my greatest friends or they could be my greatest enemy. You know, one of the processes that a pitcher has to go through is to learn the strike zone that the umpire's calling, because they don't all call it the same. There might, one might call it a little lower than the other, a little higher. One might call it a little closer on the corners than the others. You got to learn what their strike zone is, and you got to work with that. And once you got that, then you can work with it. What's hardest to work is one that is inconsistent in their calling. But you see, the Holy Spirit bringing peace in your heart is very consistent. He is always right. Every once in a while, a batter will swing and bring it partway forward, but if he doesn't break his wrist, they don't count that as a strike. But the plate umpire will sometimes call down to the base umpires to get another view. And he'll have a backup, and sometimes they have in other situations where the tag is real close when they're getting the person out and they call him safe, and then they'll do a review. They go back up the cameras, somebody will review on the cameras, put it in slow motion up close, you know, all kinds of things. The umpire's got some backup. Because an umpire at a baseball game doesn't always get it right. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you, he speaks to us through his peace, through the peace of God. He lets the peace of God come into manifestation when we're in the will of God. He's always right. He doesn't need a backup. He doesn't need to, telephone up to heaven and say, "Please, would you please review my call, Father?" He doesn't have to do that. He's always right. He's always right. You can count on the peace of God. He speaks to us through the peace of God. He's put that peace of God as the indicator that I'm in the will of God. If I take this step, I can know I'm in the will of God because I have peace. If I step over here and all of a sudden I don't have peace, I know good and well that step right there is outside the peace, outside the will of God for my life. I remember as a young Christian, I started hearing some things about living in peace, dwelling in peace, and I was one of those kids, you know. I was in elementary school before they I hate to use this word, but that's basically what they do. They label kids with initials when they have certain behavior problems. They're ADHD or something like that. You know, and we're not talking about their level of education either. We're talking about, it's an indicator of how they were. And I was like that, except they didn't have any initials for me back then. They used whole words. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, now you're awake. I know you're wondering what words they were. Well, we'll not repeat them. This is a church service. But you understand, so I started listening to the things that the preachers were talking about walking in peace, dwelling in peace, be at peace, you know. And I remember thinking as a young Christian, because I was go, 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 man, and if I could hurry any faster, I would. Why would you walk if you could run, you know, kind of person, you know, overactive. And so I remember thinking to myself, well, if I just had to dwell in peace, I sure could. I wouldn't be able to do much. But see, I didn't understand that dwelling in peace opens a whole realm and dimension of living of which I had no clue about. You can live in the things of God. You can dwell in the dimension of life that God had intended for you. And so we have to realize that there is in the will of God, you can have peace. And it is in that will, in the will of God, and when you have peace, that you can know that you know that God is working mightily on your behalf. You're not alone. Amen. The enemy may be coming up behind you. You may have mountains of debt on each side, and you may have some kind of impossibility in front of you, but you're not alone. There's a God who's with you because you're in the will of God. You have peace on the inside. Hold on to your peace. Don't start reacting to the way things are out around you. Hold on to your peace. Say it with me. Hold on to your peace. Because you see, in the will of God, you can have peace. So, number one, peace is an indicator that your faith is working. Number two, peace is an indicator of being in the will of God. Both are important if you're going to receive from God. You got to be able to believe God, trust God. You got to know that you're in the will of God. And peace will indicate both for you. And then number three, I like to say it this way. You can, everybody say you can, hold your peace because the Lord is working mightily for you. When you know God is working for you, then you can hold your peace. People fuss and fight over the craziest things. They fuss and fight over things at the store. They fuss and fight over families fight over inheritance. Friends are no longer friends because of things. And, you know, nations fight nations because of issues and things that one wants and the other wants it too. And you can't do this and the other tries to do it. And so they fight. And you could look at the world scene and you can look at headlines and you can get greatly concerned. And, you know, that's a nice way of saying get in fear. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes us Christians have code language. You know what I'm talking about? I'm greatly concerned. Well, that's just a way of saying I'm worried, or I'm fearful. And I want to tell you, listen to me. There are things, you know, if a car's coming, you ought to be greatly concerned. If a car's coming at you, if a train's coming at you, and you're standing on the tracks, you ought to be greatly concerned. You ought to be wondering what in the world's wrong with you that you're still standing. No, I'm kidding. You understand, though? There is a way, there is a reason to be concerned, and there is a reason to be, take action based on what you see. But let me tell you this. There's a great truth in not getting down into the middle of the fussing and the fighting and the rioting and the ranting and the raving. You don't have to do all of that. Why? Because God is working for you. Sometimes people like us, we pray, and then we got to go tell. We feel like we prayed and believed God, and then we feel like we got to go tell everybody. Oh, pray. Oh, pray. Pray. Oh, you got to pray. Oh, pray. Tell all your friends to pray. Put it on Facebook and pray. Well, I'm not putting all of that down as long as you're in faith. But it's difficult. One of the things that I've learned is to give a command of faith, to give a prayer of faith, and learn to hold your peace. Shut your mouth, because you don't want to undo your prayer. You don't want to undo words of faith that are spoken. Sometimes, you pray, and then somebody comes along and makes a comment. And, you know, wants to, that's in disagreement with what you prayed. And you feel like, all of a sudden, there's a feeling here. I got to defend what I... No. I'm going to hold my peace. The greater truth is that God is fighting for me. God is moving on my behalf. I've already spoken, so I'm going to hold my peace. There's nothing to add to what I've already said, because I know God is hearing my prayer, because I'm in the will of God, and I have my trust in Him, so I know that God's working on it. I said, God's working on it. Tell somebody, God's working on it. You see, one of the translations of Matthew chapter 18 and 18 and 19 talks about where two or three are gathered together, there my Father is in the midst of them. One translation says, there my Father goes into action. I'm going to tell you something. I like this. I can hold my peace because I know my Father has gone into action. You understand what I mean by that? There's a great, powerful truth here. I can hold my peace because I understand there's another realm, there's another power than what people in the world know about, and I can hold my peace because God's working on me. God's working on my behalf. God's working on the things that I'm concerned about. I can hand it to Him, and He's taking care of it. He's taking care of it. He'll take care of it better than I would. Problem is that many times we don't hold our peace. We talk about this and we talk about that, and we pray, and then we say something that's contrary to what we prayed, and then we take it back. And God says, I was just getting ready to work on that. You want it back? You sure you want it back? See what I'm saying? Oh, no, I don't want it back. Here. And you give it to him, then you go around and find somebody else, and then you got to tell them, oh, you want it back? I was just working on that. You sure you want it back? You know, back and forth, back and forth. You understand how it goes? So many times, no, listen to me. Listen, put your confidence in God. How many of you believe God's stronger than you? How many of you believe He's smarter than you? How many of you believe He knows more than you? How many of you believe He's wiser than you? How many believe He is able, more able than you are? He's more skillful than you are. Isn't that right? How many of you believe He's got more than you got? Isn't that right? How many of you believe He can do what no man can do? When you reach the end of your rope, you know, the end of the line of what you can do, everything you got's almost gone. You know? Do you think God's at the same place? No. He's just begun. When the English tied their ship or came to attack Paul Jones' ship, and he tied his ship to their ship because they was full of holes, and he tied it to their ship to keep fighting because if he wouldn't have, he would have sunk. And they asked him, are you ready to surrender? He said, no, I have not yet begun to fight. And I'd like to just get that down in you. When you're at the end of whatever you're going through and you can't do anymore, I'd like to hear, you know, God would just like you to know He's just begun. He's just begun. He's not at the end of whatever He's got. Isn't that right? So we got to learn to put our confidence in God. Be at peace. Hold on to your peace. The Lord will fight for you. Like one small child was praying one night. He said, God, He said, take good care of yourself. If something happens to you, all of us would be in trouble. And I just want you to know, nothing's going to happen to him. But you know, we would be in trouble if it wouldn't be for God, wouldn't it? Stand to your feet. I hope you got something out of this tonight. But I want you to realize that God will fight for you. God will make a way for you. Some of you need to hear that tonight. Some of you really needed to hear that tonight. And tonight, as we stand, I'd just like to ask you, if you're here tonight and you're making a decision, I'm going to hold on to my peace. I want you to just slip your hand up to the Lord. And you just let the Lord know right now, I'm going to hold on to my peace. I'm going to hold on to my peace. I'm going to let you fight for me. I'm going to let you take care of things. I'm going to let you make a way. I'm going to let your power work on my behalf. I'm going to quit fussing. I'm going to quit fighting. I'm going to quit fretting. I'm going to quit stewing. I'm going to quit doing things, being upset in the natural. I'm going to hold on to my peace, Father, because I know that you're working for me. You're working on my behalf, and you're making a way. Hallelujah. Just as you made a way for the Israelites to go victoriously walk through on dry ground through the Red Sea, so I know that you are working on my behalf. And you can make impossibilities disappear. And you can make enemies disappear. And you can make mountains of no consequence. I know you can, Lord, because you've done it before, and whatever you've done before, I know you're willing to do again. And I thank you for doing that right now, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, for these people who raised their hands as they said, declared and decided today, we're going to hold our peace. I thank you, Father, that you rise up big in their life and that you do that which is needed in their life. You help them in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.